Virginia Department of Environmental Quality versus East End Landfill. Council? Mr. Grandis?
May it please the court, I'm David Grandis, and I'm here on behalf of the Department of Environmental Quality. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This is a simple case of statutory interpretation, which is, of course, reviewed de novo. That said, the department is entitled to deference with respect to interpretation of its own regulations. The entire case turns on the interpretation of the phrase, up to but not including publication of the draft permit for public comment, as appears in Virginia Code Section 10.1, 1408.1b9. The rules of statutory interpretation dictate that a legislative enactment may not be read in a manner that makes a portion of that enactment useless or absurd. The department's interpretation of this phrase in context of the entire statute was not unreasonable. As such, the department was within its authority when it terminated Thiel's application to expand a solid waste management facility.
Why terminate it? Given that the application, at least at some point, was complete, why terminate rather than deny?
Well, I think that the appropriate term is stalled. The code requires that Thiel, the applicant here, submit one of two certifications. One, that the proposed expansion is consistent with a local solid waste management plan, or two, that the solid waste management planning unit has initiated the process to amend its plan. In this particular case, Thiel proceeded under subsection 2 and submitted a certification that the local solid waste planning unit had initiated the process.
So at that point under subsection 9, the application is complete and can be processed at least up to the issuance of the draft permit.
That's correct, but we must focus on the last sentence of subsection B9, which is a limiting phrase. And what that phrase says is that such certification shall be sufficient to allow processing of the permit up to but not including publication of the draft permit.
So what does that up to language mean?
That means you come to a hurdle. You come to a stopping place. And should the applicant have submitted a certification that says that they have initiated the process to revise their plan, you go back and see if they made an affirmative determination. Mm-hmm. If they have not, then the application process is stalled or terminated. It's stalled until they produce an affirmative certification, or it's terminated if they fail to do so. And that's entirely consistent with the department's regulations at 9 BAC 2081 550 A6. It states that a permit shall be denied if current information is sufficient to make the determination required in 10.1 1408.1d of the code has not been provided.
But the permit
I'm sorry?
The permit shall be not denied, not that the application shall be deemed incomplete.
That's correct.
What happened here, as I understand it, is no denial of the permit occurred, a refusal to deny the permit occurred.
A refusal to continue processing the application occurred.
So doesn't the statute say that it should be denied? Doesn't that hurt you and not help you? Because it wasn't denied.
Well, that particular regulation that I cited actually pertains to the determination made under subsection D. Had this application proceeded beyond the publication for public comment, and had the director made the determination under D1, and had he needed additional information to make his determination, and that information had not been provided, then he had grounds for denial at that point. That's a slightly different scenario than what we're talking about.
So if this case were remanded back to DEQ, would it have the discretion to render the permit?
I don't believe so. Not until the authority issues an affirmative determination. That they've come to this hurdle in the process, that this up to but not including publication of the draft permit for public comment.
Mr. Grandis, a moment ago you said you wanted to talk about the last clause of subsection 9, but you talked about the next to last clause.
Correct.
The last clause is, but shall not bind the director in making the determination required by subdivision D1.
Okay.
That's stated in neutral language. It doesn't say that such a certification by the local authority shall require, you know, it seems to me the way the Commonwealth is, DEQ is reading that is, it allows him, if they say yes, to still say no to the permit ultimately. We all agree on that.
Yes.
But you're reading it as that's the only thing it says, correct? Because you're saying if the authority says no or makes some finding that something is inconsistent, it doesn't go any further than that.
That's correct.
So even though the General Assembly chose neutral language there, it only goes in one direction.
Well, I think what that language means in the very last phrase of subsection B9, the shall not bind the director, under D1, his determination, his analysis is slightly different. As Teal has pointed out in their brief, under his analysis, he has to consider whether or not the proposed facility is consistent with not only the local plan in question here, but also the entire service area and the state, for that matter. So a locality's plan shall not bind the director in this determination with respect to the state plan.
But and your interpretation of the statutory scheme is an authority's affirmative statement shall not bind the director, but you believe a negative statement does bind the director.
A negative statement does bind the director.
So the authority has an absolute veto.
I believe that's the mechanism the General Assembly has created here. And if I can cite a couple of statutory provisions with respect to regional and local solid waste management plans and planning units, 10.1.1411A says the board, the waste management board, is authorized to promulgate regulations specifying requirements for local and regional solid waste management plans. To implement regional plans, the governor may designate regional boundaries, which he has done here. The governing body of the county, city, and towns within the region so designated shall be responsible for the development and implementation of a comprehensive regional solid waste management plan in coordination with the planning, district, commission, or commissions in the region. Now, by contrast, the board and the department's authority is limited by 10.1.1402.4. There, the board and the department have the authority to develop and keep current state waste management plans, and then provide only technical assistance, advice, and other aid for the development and implementation of local and regional waste management plans. So contrary to Teal's assertion, the director of DEQ does not have the power to override a local plan. Now, Teal claims the director should have ignored the authority's finding regarding consistency with its own plan and rendered an independent determination under subsection D1. But Teal was incorrect because the entire application was never deemed complete and a draft permit was not developed or published for public comment and thus never advanced to the issuance phase of the process. Even if the pending application had advanced to the issuance phase, there is nothing in the code that requires the director to ignore the authority's determination regarding its plan. To the contrary, Virginia Code Section 10.1.1408.1D1 expressly compels the director to consider the comments made by the host local government, other local governments, interested persons, when determining both whether there is a need for the additional capacity and whether the proposed expansion is consistent with the regional solid waste management plan.
Well, consider doesn't mean generally defer, does it? The director has to consider the comments. That it doesn't necessarily follow from that language that he has to adopt or obey. Generally, when you have notice and comment, there'll be people who notice and comment on both sides.
Correct.
Counsel, talk to us a little bit about attorney's fees.
Okay. Your Honor, it's my position that the circuit court erred when it awarded Teal its costs and attorney's fees in this case. This court has held that a party is not entitled to costs and attorney's fees under the APA, even if it substantially prevails, if the agency's decision was not unreasonable. A decision is not unreasonable if it is substantially plausible, it is based on the agency's longstanding practice, and has never been tested in court. Indeed, the department's interpretation was not unreasonable because it was substantially plausible and based on the plain language of the statute. Furthermore, a contrary reading would render the language of the statute meaningless and the authority obsolete. Next, the department's decision was not unreasonable because it was based on its longstanding practice, as memorialized in DEQ's Solid Waste Permit Manual, found at page 178 of the appendix, which incidentally was cited by TL on page 15 of its brief. That manual provides that following submittal of a certificate under Virginia Code Section 10.1-14081B92, the permit writer can notify an applicant when publication of the draft permit has stalled, pending the planning unit's confirmation of the complete plan revision. And this is exactly what happened when DEQ issued its case decision on July 1st, 2014, terminating the permit process. Finally, the department's interpretation of Virginia Code Section 10.1-14081B92 and the phrase up to but not including publication of the draft permit for public comment was not unreasonable because it has never been adjudicated by any court.
Counsel, you have a little over 4 minutes if you care to reserve any time for rebuttal.
One more point, and I deserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Teal claims that the authority should have granted the amendment because the amendment was purely ministerial, and further claims that the authority incorrectly based its consistent determination on the region's needs. But this is not true, and Teal grossly oversimplifies the purpose of the plan. The department's regulations describe in great detail what goes into a plan. Teal focuses on the regulation at 9 BAC 20130 120 C4 and 9 BAC 20130 120 D. For the proposition that a plan is little more than a centralized archive of existing facilities. To the contrary, the plan is much more and is expressly required to include data and analysis of population, information, and projection for the next 20 years under C1, estimates of solid waste generation under C3, milestones for implementation of the plan under C5, a description of the program's solid waste reduction, reuse, recycling, and resource recovery under C6, and finally, and most importantly, under subsection C9, the assessment of all current and predicted needs for the solid waste management for a period of 20 years and a description of the action to be taken to meet those needs. That said, the authority was wholly justified when it based its consistent determination on the region's needs at the time of the requested amendment. I'd like to reserve the remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Wartzel, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Andrea Wurzel. I'm representing the East End Landfill, also referred to as Teal. Judge Russell, you're exactly right that the key issue here is that the permit processing stalled. There was no decision made. DEQ's decision actually was not to decide. The question is whether DEQ, as the agency charged under the statutes with both solid waste permitting and planning authority, was correct when it ceased processing a solid waste permitting application on the basis of a regional planning body's decision, essentially allowing that decision to control not only the outcome of the permitting decision, but the process itself. The circuit court concluded that it was not based on the plain language of the Virginia Code, and Teal asked that you affirm that decision. The East End Landfill is an existing construction demolition debris landfill located in Henrico County. In its current configuration, it's in a U shape. It's looking to expand into that interior parcel of the U. And in order to do that, it needed to get a permit from DEQ, and that's what started this whole process. Under the code, both local governments and DEQ must make decisions about the expansion of solid waste facilities.
But let me ask you this. If we affirm the circuit court and give you the remand to DEQ, there's nothing in the record. Is there anything in the record that compels DEQ to issue you the permit?
No, there's not. If it goes back to DEQ, they just have to process the permit in accordance with their own statutes and make the determination that's required by state law.
Okay, so you basically are just fighting at this point over process.
Correct.
Okay.
Getting a permitting decision one way or the other.
And so if the director agrees with the authority that it doesn't meet its current plan, would you concede that that requires rejection of the permit?
Yes, if they make an independent determination that the facility is not consistent with the regional plan, then they can deny the permit.
And even if it's consistent with the regional plan, according to DEQ, if it's inconsistent with DEQ's view of how everything in the state is working together, they can turn it down.
Yes, they can. And then we can appeal that decision. But in this case, they didn't make that decision. They just didn't make any decision. They said the local plan controls, and that's the problem, is that the local plan under the statute doesn't control. It's DEQ as the permitting agency and as the planning agency, because what the Commonwealth didn't say is that DEQ oversees these plans. DEQ was charged with writing the regulations that lays out what goes into them. DEQ reviews them, and DEQ approves them.
Does Teal concede that there needs to be an amendment to the regional, to the authority's plan, to allow for its to create the situation where its permit is possible?
I think that comes down to how you define consistency. Consistency isn't defined in the code. Traditionally, DEQ has defined consistency to require that the capacity being sought in the permit is the same as the capacity number included in the regional plan. Consistency actually means you're harmonious with. There's a case that we cited in our brief that talks about, that's Roanoke Memorial Hospital versus Kinley. In that case, they were looking at the consistency with the state health plan. And they talked about the fact that you want the facilities to be harmonious with the ideas that are laid out in that plan. And so that is one definition of consistency, and that might be something we end up arguing with DEQ about if they ultimately do deny the permit. But the fact of the matter is that the regional plan includes the Teal facility already, states in it that there's an expectation that the facility will expand, and suggests that construction, demolition, debris facilities are needed, additional facilities are needed, in order to save space in the municipal solid waste facilities for non-construction, demolition, debris materials. So there is an argument that this facility is consistent with the plan as it's drafted.
On brief, DEQ argues that Teal's real gripe here is with the authority, and suggests that an action against the authority was the appropriate vehicle. Why is that incorrect?
Because the authority is charged with putting together a plan. The plan is not self-implementing. It's not a permitting document. It has no effect in and of itself. It had no effect until DEQ, reviewing the permit, decides whether to issue the permit or not. Our complaint is that DEQ stopped processing the permit. So our concern is with DEQ's inaction rather than CBWMA's action. So as I was saying, these facilities have to be approved both by local governments and by DEQ. Local governments approve them at the time of zoning. DEQ approves them at the time of permitting. And then these local government zoning decisions are supposed to be captured and recorded in the local, or in this case, the regional solid waste management plans. These plans are designed under state law to estimate the volume of solid waste that's generated within the region and then put together a plan for managing that waste. And the statute also aims at including ensuring that a certain percentage of it is recycled. Accordingly, the plans are required to receive and record information about facilities and their capacities within the region. And as I mentioned, it's significant that DEQ reviews and approves the regional solid waste management plans. So DEQ's authority extends not only to permitting decisions, but also to the plans themselves. In this case, DEQ is arguing that it has no responsibility or authority over the regional plan, and that the plan dictates the outcome of DEQ's permitting decisions. In other words, DEQ is allowing the tail to wag the dog. The East End Landfill received zoning approval from Henrico County for the expansion of the landfill into that interior portion of the U shape that I mentioned earlier. Teal then initiated the process for obtaining a DEQ permit. As part of that, they're required to submit two certifications, as Mr. Grandis alluded to. The first one is a certification from the host locality that the expansion is consistent with their zoning and other ordinances. And Teal provided that. Henrico County signed it. It was submitted. The second one is a certification either that it's consistent with the plan or that they have requested that the plan be amended. And Teal submitted that as well. And DEQ determined that the application was complete by letter dated October 24th, 2013. As we were just discussing, DEQ is traditionally required that the capacity sought in a DEQ permit be included in the regional plan in order for there to be a consistency determination, and that's the reason that Teal filed the request with CBWMA that the plan be updated to include this new information from the zoning. And CBWMA wrote a letter to DEQ, or actually they wrote the letter to Teal, and Teal filed it with their application. That letter is found in Appendix 204, and in that letter they stated that the amendment process was started, that the amendment was expected to be approved based in part on the zoning, but also because additional CDD capacity is included in the plan.
although that was the expectation at the time of the letter, it was not approved.
That is correct. DEQ by letter dated October 24th, that's found at Appendix 216, determined that the application was complete and began processing the permit. A little over 4 months later is when the CBWMA board ultimately refused to make the requested change to the plan. And on this basis, DEQ ceased processing Teal's permit application.
Assume for me a hypothetical situation where there is no argument that there doesn't need to be a change to the plan. There has to be a change to the plan. And everything else proceeds exactly as it has. And the locality just said, the board says, we're not changing the plan. The authority says, we're not changing the plan. Doesn't that kill the applicant? I mean, doesn't that ordain that the permit has to fail?
No, well, if we're assuming the facts are exactly the same in that they initiated the amendment process, but then ultimately mm-hmm. said no, which is kind of the fact pattern we have here. But if they had gone that route, and once you file a complete application, once the applicant has initiated that amendment process, that's all a private party can do. They don't have any control over that plan. So they go to the plan and they say, here's updated information about our facility. It's your responsibility under the state code and regulations to maintain an updated plan that includes accurate information about these facilities. It's spelled out right in DEQ's regulation. Then ultimately, DEQ has two choices. One is they do have the authority to require changes to the plan when there's been a significant deviation. A significant deviation is defined as either they don't meet the requirements of the regulation or there's been an omission. In this case, there's been an omission because they're not willing to update the new zoning information about this facility. So DEQ does have the authority to require the change. The other option is that DEQ can make a determination that it's not consistent with the plan and deny the permit. But in no case is the failure to have that plan amended supposed to be a basis to control the permitting decision. And I'll give you another example. The plans are required to be amended whenever a facility closes. So if Teal were closing its facility and went to CBWMA and asked for the plan to be amended, and they said, no, we're not going to include that closure, that doesn't mean that the facility is required to stay open. These are meant to be plans. They're meant to contain and capture the information about the facilities within the region and then to look at the waste that's generated within the region and make sure that it's being managed properly. That's the purpose of these plans. And in order for them to be maintained, that's the reason you have the requirement that you have a certification, because the plans need to be updated as permits are issued. But ultimately, it's the DEQ director's decision whether it's consistent with the plan and whether to issue the permit and whether there's any changes needed to the plan.
Counsel, talk to us a little bit about attorney's fees, please.
Yes, ma'am. With respect to attorney's fees, DEQ's position was not substantially justified because it is in conflict with what is required by the statute. The statute says right on its face that you have a complete application if you submit a certification that you've requested that for the amendment process to be initiated.
But the standard of review for attorney's fees is fairly high, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And DEQ's position is that its action is consistent with longstanding practice. That's not enough to overcome the plain language of the statute. But even if it was, DEQ's action is actually in conflict with its longstanding practice. If you look at appendix page 447, DEQ regularly goes back to these planning agencies and asks them to make changes and says in those letters that it's DEQ's obligation to make an independent determination. So DEQ has in the past gone back to these planning agencies and told them that it disagreed with its determination or asked them to make corrections to their plans. In that case, they had miscalculated the capacity using the wrong unit of measure, and DEQ asked them to make the change. And furthermore, there is no precedent for this type of situation. Normally, these regional planning agencies receive the information about the zoning and update the plans. And so we haven't ever had quite this situation where...
Wouldn't that lend itself to not awarding attorney's fees if this is a unique scenario that has never really come up before?
The specific facts of this haven't come up before, but as I mentioned before, DEQ has regularly, as part of these discussions, gone back to the planning agencies and asked them to make corrections to their plans or to disagree with their determination of inconsistency. And as I mentioned, that letter at page 447 is an example of that.
And is that during the application process that they've done that?
Yes.
Okay.
And in that case, the letter that's included in Appendix 447 has to do with Teal's a prior amendment that Teal was seeking to its permit. And in that case, CBWMA said that one portion of the amendment was consistent and the other portion was not. And then DEQ wrote them back and said, you know, we're looking at this because it's our job to make an independent determination, and we think actually both parts might be consistent, and we think you made an error in your calculation, and this is how it needs to change. So DEQ has done that regularly in the past.
Well, does one letter make regularly?
We didn't include all of the letters in the appendix for this court, given that the appendix was so big, but in the lower court we provided multiple letters. They've done it not just with CBWMA, but with other planning agencies as well.
And those letters are in the record?
Yes, they are. DEQ's argument is that CBWMA's subsequent decision not to amend its plan to include updated information about the Teal facility rendered Teal's application incomplete retroactively. This argument's wrong based on the plain, unambiguous language of the statute. I'd like to spend just a minute going through that language. The code states on its face that an application is complete if the certification that the plan amendment process is underway has been initiated is provided, and Teal provided that. But DEQ is also ignoring the final phrase of 10.1.1408.1b9, which states that the certification is not binding on the DEQ director. Instead, the DEQ director must make his own determination of consistency as required by 10.1.1408.1d1. Thus, providing either certification is sufficient to make the application complete because the certification does not ultimately control DEQ's evaluation of consistency. And third, DEQ's argument that the language up to but not including publication of the draft permit for public comment at the end of 10.1.1408.1b9 is wrong. This phrase modifies such certification, which includes either a certification of consistency or a certification that the plan amendment process was initiated. The correct reading of the statute is that the certification is sufficient for the permit to be processed, but the director must make his own determination prior to publication of the draft permit, regardless of the certification provided. The circuit court's opinion is consistent with the plain language of 10.1.1408.1b9, with the entirety of 10.1.1408.1, and with the statutory waste planning framework. Teal asks that this court affirm the circuit court's decision. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Grandis, you've got almost 3 minutes.
Thank you. Now, with respect to fees and with consistency with DEQ's prior decisions, the letters in the record, all the letters in the record, including the letter at page 447, demonstrated an instance where the solid waste planning unit said that a proposed expansion was consistent with his plan, and DEQ determined that it was not. So it sent that decision back to the planning unit to be reconsidered. There's nothing in the record that suggests that a planning unit has said it's inconsistent with our plan, and DEQ said, please make a change. Teal argues that the department should have compelled the authority to amend its plan or should have taken action to revoke and amend the plan itself, but neither option is available under the code or the regulations. To the contrary, the department's powers over a local body's plan are limited under Virginia Code, under 9 VAC 20, 130, 175. The department does not have power to dictate what amendments a local body should adopt. Instead, the regulations provide that a local body should send an original plan or proposed major amendment to the department for approval. Then the department has two options. The department may either approve the amendment or return the amendment, or return the document for comments. Or return comments on any deficiencies within 90 days. The local body then has the opportunity to submit a corrected amendment. If the corrected amendment is still deficient, the department will notify the body of its intent to disapprove the amendment. There is nothing in the code or the regulations that allows DEQ to require adoption of a specific amendment or to amend the plan itself. Finally, as Judge Russell alluded to, I believe there is a remedy here that's available to Teal. Should an applicant disagree with the local planning unit's decision not to amend its plan, the applicant must seek redress against the local planning unit. And that specific remedy is available under Virginia Code Section 15.2.51.14, as the Attorney General has previously opined. If there are no further questions, I respectfully request that this court reverse and vacate the Circuit Court's February 6th and March 5th orders in favor of the Department, or in the alternative, remand the matter to the Circuit Court with instructions to rescind the award of attorney's fees and costs and dismiss the matter with prejudice.
Thank you, Counsel.